And it's time now for another look at the world of science fiction through the eyes of an actual scientist. I'm joined tonight by Alexandra Elena. She's a PhD student at Victoria University of Wellington. Tonight we're talking materials, fact or fiction, and what we're going to look into is something called hypermatter, which I think could be real, but let's find out if it is or not, or you might be fooled. Alexandra, good evening.
Good evening. It's really nice to be here.
Lovely to have you here. Now, you're the expert on hypermatter, and this is all to do with space and Star Wars.
Yes, it is. Hypermatter is a fuel that runs the hyperdrive that permits the spaceship to travel through space and cover the long distances within a few hours.
Oh my, I'd forgotten how much I hate space travel.
Imperial cruiser, our passengers must be hotter than I thought. Try and hold them off. Angle the deflector shield while I make the calculations for the jump to light speed.
Stay sharp. There's two more coming in. They're going to try and cut us off.
Why didn't y'all run them? I thought you said this thing was fast.
Watch your mouth, kid, or you're going to find yourself floating home.
We'll be safe enough once we make the jump to hyperspace. Besides, I know a few maneuvers, we'll lose them. Here's where the fun begins.
How long before you can make the jump to light speed?
Take a few moments to get the coordinates from the navicomputer.
Are you kidding? At the rate they're gaining?
Traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops, boy. Without precise calculations, we'd fly right through a star or bounce too close to a supernova and then end your trip real quick, wouldn't it?
What's that flashing?
We're losing the deflector shield.
Both strap yourselves in. I'm going to make a jump to light speed.
So when did we first hear about hypermatter?
Actually, I think the term hypermatter only exists in the extended universe of Star Wars. However, the first space travel higher than speeds of light happens in the very first episode, or fourth episode, actually, but I'm talking about the original trilogy here. So we see the Millennium Falcon travels from Tatooine to Alderaan in a matter of just a few hours, while those two planets are actually very far apart in space.
How far? Light years, I guess.
It would take years to come from one planet to another, and I'm not sure that Luke and Han would be able to save Princess Leia if not for hyperdrive and hypermatter.
Right, so you're in the spaceship, you're in the driver's seat, co-piloting, and were they co-piloting? I think they might have been. And they decide, right, we're going into hyperdrive now, and it's hyperdrive is powered by hypermatter?
Yes, hyperdrive is driven by a hypermatter reactor, which, to my mind, is kind of running the way the nuclear reactor would be driven. But obviously, instead of uranium, it's using hypermatter.
Oh, that's the fuel.
Yes, the hypermatter is a fuel that runs on tachyons, and a tachyon is a hypothetical particle that is able to travel faster than speed of light, which is exactly what hyperdrive lets you to do.
Ah, I see. So you don't really need a fuel tank.
I guess the hypermatter reactor is acting as a fuel tank in the spaceship. And in a big starcrafts like Star Destroyer or Death Star.
And so, like radioactivity, is a hypermatter dangerous to humans?
Yes, hypermatter leak is dangerous to organic, to every organic, and I think that was also mentioned in the movies. So a leak of hypermatter is toxic, so if it's leaking, it's kind of possible to trace the ship across the space.
Do they have any hypermatter leaks?
I think in one of the movies they did, because I definitely remember someone saying about the hypermatter leak, but although it might have happened in the comics or or Clone Wars, there's so much materials on Star Wars.
Yes. So hypermatter, it's fuel, and what kind of spaceships is hypermatter used in?
I think in Star Wars universe, pretty much every ship, every big enough ship uses hypermatter. Like Millennium Falcon, for example, it's not a very big ship compared to Star Destroyers, for example. But we know that it's traveling across the space using the hyperdrive. On the other hand, the small ships on the Death Star, for example, they probably don't use a hyperdrive because they're small enough to install the hyperdrive reactor. And therefore, they can't actually leave the Death Star surroundings.
No, this is when you just want to go super fast in a big spaceship.
Yes, the spaceship should be able to accommodate the reactor. I do not think that the reactor would be very big, because if the reactor using the hypermatter, it probably has the complex mass, which means it can go very, very dense and therefore not take up too much space in a ship, allowing it to accommodate it in a ship like Millennium Falcon, not talking about the Death Star, obviously.
So hypermatter power, how likely is it that it could be real?
I don't think it is likely to be real, since a hypermatter is something, it's a matter existing in hyperspace, the space that kind of allows the ships travel long distances in a short time. And it has an imaginary mass, which is not also possible in the real world. And most importantly, hypermatter allows a matter to travel with the speeds that are greater than speeds of light, which we all know it's not possible because speed of light is the highest speed in the universe, in our universe. And it's a constant, and it's the highest limit for the speed of any particle or any matter.
How do we know that?
Well, the Einstein theory of relativity kind of sets the limit for the speed of light here.
Ah, I see. So when they're talking about hypermatter and hyperspace, then it's just simply not possible in the world that we know it now.
Unfortunately, yes. The physicists think that the hyperspace might be more real than hypermatter in terms of it's not allowing the ships to travel with the speeds greater than speeds of light because it's just simply not possible. But maybe in a way it's bending the space-time, which creating a wormhole that connects two parts of space and therefore allowing the ship to go through that wormhole. And it's not accelerating the ship to the speed that is greater than speed of light. It's just, it's kind of creating a shortcut for the ship. Yeah, unfortunately, there is nothing that travels greater than the speed of light here. And even tachyons that are the hypothetical particle, so it doesn't exist maybe yet. Maybe it's not just discovered, but it's hypothetical. And unfortunately, such travel is not available for us.
Be wonderful if you had come up with hypermatter and hyperspace and
Something like that would be useful. Yeah.
Yeah, and it actually came into being. But I'll have to backpedal here a little bit and explain to me, I've got hypermatter, that's the fuel. What is hyperspace again?
Hyperspace, it's an imaginary extra-dimensional space, if you say so. And through that extra-dimensional space, the ships can travel from one point to another. And we assume that we can only reach this space at the speeds greater than the speed of light.
So, I see. So it's like a portal that you go into. We're going into hyperspace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe if you're able to travel at such a great speed, that is greater speed of light, then you can access special hyperspace and then reach a planet much, much faster.
Yeah, no, you've convinced me that we can't go faster than the speed of light. I've got that. That's good. So with hyperspace, and we're going into hyperspace using our hyperdrive and our hypermatter, and you said it's like a nuclear reactor. It's a reactor, and so that's a part of the ship. It's like the engine room in the ship. That's where it's created. How much space would it need, you know, actual physical space on a spaceship?
Wouldn't tell you the exact numbers, unfortunately, but it is assumed that a hypermatter, since it is consistent of tachyons, which can travel very fast, it is actually very dense. So it doesn't take much space in the hypothetical reactor.
Ah, and you said there's a danger from leaking, I think was the word you used. What about exploding, or if any other dangers to do with hypermatter as a fuel?
Since hypermatter is, yes, this kind of fuel actually powers the Death Star.
I'm getting there now. I'm sort of understanding how these intergalactic spaceships work. And I imagine
they definitely use some advanced technology.
And I'm imagining that some hardcore Star Wars fans are yelling at the radio right now going, what do you mean you don't know about the laser on the Death Star? Well, thank you very much for telling us about hypermatter, hyperspace. What was the other thing? And hyperdrive.
In hyperdrive, all hyper, yeah.
We're all hyped up. Very good. Thank you. And I'm going to have to look at the Star Wars trip. How many films are there?
It's nine.
Nine now.
But I would recommend to start watching since episode 4, then 5, then 6.
Oh, yeah.
And then 1, 2, 3. And then if you're still keen, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
But, the Death Star and hyperdrive, hypermatter, everything that you start with is the original trilogy, episode 4, 5, and 6.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What was it? A long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away, that was Alexandra Elena, a PhD student at Victoria University of Wellington there. And there'll be another Materials Fact or Fiction in 2 weeks' time. And Star Wars, apparently one of the most successful movie franchises of all time, and it's got a total worldwide box office revenue of over $10 billion. And several of the movies have made over $1 billion each worldwide, but production costs for Star Wars films, as you can imagine, are pretty expensive. Often exceed, here's a figure, $200 million US for one film.